Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic are with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have David Beauclair from SI.com coming up at 7:30. Get his thoughts on the Titans, the Rex rant at 7:45. And then Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the SEC tournament champion Tennessee Volunteers as they head into postseason play as well. As always, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, I came across this piece on CBS Sports this weekend, and it comes from Jared Dubin, who is the author. Hopefully no relation to Joe Dubin at CBS Sports, who put this together. And basically, it's looking ahead at the defenses in 2022 around the NFL and going who's most likely and least likely to crack the top 10. So they've separated this up in different categories in terms of who's the likeliest to be a top 10 defense. And it starts with a category that has very unlikely. So you've got teams like the Lions and Giants and the Seahawks and the Falcons and the Jags on that list. And then it goes all the way down to the most likely teams. In the, quote, somewhat unlikely category to finish as a top 10 defense in the NFL, the Panthers, the Bears, the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Tennessee Titans in the somewhat unlikely category to finish in the top 10 defense. Now, it says, basically the quote in here is, quote, Tennessee had an above-average defense last season, but there's just not enough high-level talent aside from Jeffrey Simmons and Kevin Byard for us to see them crashing the top 10. So somewhat unlikely for the Titans to crash the top 10. The possibly categories, I mean, there's a whole list of teams. The Eagles, the Commanders, the Cardinals, the Bengals, the Browns, the Packers. I mean, the Vikings, you can go up and down the list of possibly. And then you get to the most likely, and it's the Ravens and – or excuse me, the Bills are on that list, the Rams and the Saints. So there's a whole bunch of teams in between the Titans and like the most likely category of the Bills and Rams that are just ahead of the Titans, and the Titans are somewhat unlikely in this category. Am I missing something here with the Titans defense? Like they were just in the top 10. I'm so confused by what's going on here.
Yeah, this is becoming a trend. It's really weird. And again, I hate to lean in on the whole national media doesn't respect the Titans or but it's this is one of those. They seem to be a throw-in team, a lot of people who don't really closely look at them, I guess, because I mean, sir, I would put them in the somewhat likely. It's an interesting way to do a piece. And by the way, this dude kind of looks like Joe Dubin from the little mugshot. Are we sure this isn't like
could be
evil Joe Dubin, young evil Joe Dubin, time traveling to write this. So the somewhat likely, you got like Cowboys, Ravens, Broncos, Colts, Dolphins, Pats, Steelers, Niners, Bucks. That's where I would put the Titans. Yeah. You know, I mean, you could argue put them in the top category, but probably put them in this category. And he puts them two categories away from this. It's weird. So I'm trying to. Okay, so I think people should know. I think people should know about Harold Landry. Now, granted, Bud Dupree didn't have a great season, but people still know Bud Dupree. But no, that's fine. Didn't have a great season. But DeNico Autry did have a great season.
What I've learned this offseason, people nationally have no idea who David Long Jr. is. Not a clue. No idea who that guy is.
Without question. We were talking about this. I was talking about this yesterday with Michelle and Junie, you know, that's got to be part of the answer, because all the mock drafts, we had the Titans taking an inside linebacker, which is reflective. Well, they lost Jayon Brown and Rashawn Evans, you know, but people don't realize that David Long surpassed both those guys. So that's got to be a big part of it, but it's still one guy, you know. Like, okay, fine. So people don't know who David Long is, but you do know Zach Cunningham, and you know all the guys we just talked about. It's weird. I mean, I suppose Amani Hooker is another guy who is a good, solid player, has earned his way to be a starter, not going to excite anybody, right? And the corner group, I think I do think that people, when they're kind of taking the big – league-wide look at defenses. I do think that top corners are going to be big factors. Okay, who's the number one corner? Okay, Tre'Davious White. Okay, like who's your lockdown corner? You know, and so I can see looking at the Titans and not seeing one. I think that's fair, and that is the weakness. That's the weak spot. But man, the front. Considering what the, I mean, if anybody just watched the playoff game, wouldn't you kind of have an idea that there's a decent pass rush situation here?
Well, I'm not even like you don't even have to put the Titans as like definitely in the top 10 because I don't know if they're going to be a top 10 defense. I feel pretty good about it. Like I think that there's a strong chance that they will be, but like the somewhat unlikely category, like putting this defense in the same category as the Chicago Bears and the Carolina Panthers to me is an absolute joke.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not great, Jared Dubin. Jay Dubin. Let's just say Mr. Dubin. Let's just That's rip. Right. And we like ripping our Dubins on this show.
We do. Yeah.
And look, I'm sure there's another team or two in here that is, you know, that he's got pegged way wrong. You know, I don't know, but it's interesting how this seems to be kind of a, I mean, this is not the first one of these we've seen where it's like, yeah, they just don't look like they're all that good of a defense. So David Long's got to be part of the answer. Corner's got to be part of the answer. But I think people are sleeping on, you know, the other people up front, along with Jeffrey Simmons, who played so well last year.
I think so too. And, you know, we've made the comparison between the defense this year heading into the season and the hype for the offense from last year. Now, I think even here locally, the hype for this defense is not going to match what the hype was for the offense heading in last year. So it's not exactly the same. But nationally, I don't think there's any question about it. It's not going to be anywhere close. Like there were some national people, and you talked about it. I mean, defensive coordinators coming out and saying, yeah, I don't really know what you're going to do with this Titans offense. You got A.J. Brown and Julio Jones and Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill and all these guys. How are you going to go about defending these guys? I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of that from the defensive side of the ball for the Titans this year, which, again, you know, we talked about the disrespect angle that Vrabel and the Titans like to play up the other day. I mean, if I'm on the defensive side of the ball, I'm looking around right now with some of the conversations this offseason, I'm like, good Lord, what do we have to do to get people's attention around here? At 9 sacks in a playoff game.
I mean, I'm already like replaying Kevin Byard's future press conferences in my mind on this, you know. So because Byard's one of those guys who notices all instances of disrespect.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like last year the offense was set up to fail just because it's like there's no way you're living up to that standard. Then immediately in week one you just get just annihilated, right? And then, you know, had good moments and bad moments. Wasn't what it was supposed to be. The defense this year is not going to have that. It's not going to have any lofty. Now, I think locally it will because we've been talking about it. I think this could be a great defense.
Yeah.
So that's still going to be – the conversation is going to be, you know, can the defense carry the Titans early while the offense tries to figure everything out, which I think is exactly what the Titans need. So there's going to be a lot of respect for the defense locally, but yeah, it's not going to be like anything like last year with the offense. I would say the Titans offense was one of the most discussed, you know, sides of the ball for any team going. And how much we talk about that? Like, wow, they actually are getting all this attention now. I mean, that's what happens when you sign Julio Jones, right?
Yeah.
When we thought he was Julio Jones still, or a much better version of Julio Jones still. So yeah, not, that was maybe some rat poison, as Nick Saban may say. I don't think there's going to be much rat poison for any part of this team this year.
Craig, well, the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com says, I think the guy that wrote this article fired up a Dubin before analyzing the Titans.
Ooh, wow.
Nicely done, Craig.
Roll that Dubin.
That was good stuff. Kelton on the text line says, are you guys aware that there are two David Long Juniors? One plays for the Rams. That's crazy. Maybe that's who people think that this David Long Jr. is.
Yeah.
Stole him. Switch positions.
Yeah, they're like, wait, the Titans have a cornerback playing linebacker? That's a bad defense. Oh, you can run all over that team.
Maybe we've gotten to the bottom of it. Thank you, Kelton. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Is the Titans defense being disrespected? We'll continue that conversation next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Your Nashville best deal of the week is Beach Bend Amusement Park and Splash Lagoon Water Park as well. Buy one day pass for $35.99 and get one free now at thegamenashville.com/deals. That's one day pass for $35.99 and get one free at thegamenashville.com/deals. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Tuesday morning. Got David Beauclair from SI.com coming up at 7:30. We'll get his thoughts on all things Tennessee Titans. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So we're discussing the Titans defense, maybe some disrespect out there nationally. And Joe, my question for you is, outside of injuries that we have no way of being able to foresee right now, what is the worst case scenario for this Titans defense this year? You have Bud Dupree coming back, presumably healthy. You got Harold Landry off a career year, signing a big deal with his contract. We figure that Cunningham and Long Jr. is probably the starting linebacker duo. And then there's the cornerback group that you brought up. That's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out. Lots of young guys at corner that could be playing some prominent roles. So we'll see how that goes. What's kind of the worst case scenario for you in terms of how this defense maybe won't be that good of a defense this year?
Well, apart from injuries, right?
Apart from injuries.
Yeah. I think with any sort of expectation going into a season, you could always say, you know, injuries could derail it. Every single team has that as a possibility. So taking that out of the equation, assuming some injuries, but not like injuries like last year, for example, which didn't derail it, but were pretty significant. You start with corner to me. And like, you're going to have a certain level of, I think, you know, reliability at safety. I mean, Kevin Byard, I still think that his down year of 2020 had so much to do with the defense being bad. And like, there's only so much you can do, you know, as a safety. And then you get put in a lot of bad spots because the defense is bad. So I think you have a certain level of reliability there. It's hard for me to, it really is. Like David Long Jr., it's funny because like you said, he's one of the most underrated and just unknown guys in the D. And to me, I feel confident that David Long and Zach Cunningham are going to be good. Jeff Simmons is going to be good. Worst case would be, you know, one, like start at corner for sure. You don't have a clear starter at the other outside corner. You know, Molden, I think Molden's going to be good. I think Molden's going to take another step, but we'll see. And that's not for sure. And so if you have two of the three spots where you're not especially strong, well, okay, you can see where that could be problematic. And then I would look at like a Bud Dupree. I mean, he's no longer coming off an ACL. I think it's still fair to wonder, is this going to be right now at this point in his career with a huge contract signed? He's removed from the ACL, but is he going to be a player who plays up to that contract? I mean, that's still a huge question this year. And I don't know that for sure he is. I think you saw more and more from him late last year, but you got to see more than that. You got to see, you know, you got to see dominant edge play from that guy this year. Is he up to that? I don't know. I mean, I think that's another question where if it goes the other way, you know, the Titans have some good depth there. They have Weaver. They have Adeniyi to go along with Landry. Is Landry going to, you know, fall off a little bit after his career year, after signing the big deal? You know, if these things all broke the wrong way, you know, Molden, Dupree, Landry, you know, Autry getting older. I mean, you could see how it could definitely be less than we think it will be or subpar. I guess if all those things went wrong, young Dubin may look prophetic, but young Dubin needs a lot of help for that to not look silly.
Yes, I would agree. Now, the Autry thing is interesting because, you know, I think we all know how important he was to this defense last year and what an impact he had on the front, both with his production just individually, but also I think how he opened things up for other people as well. He will be 32 when this season begins. So I'm not saying that he's just all of a sudden going to collapse as a player or anything like that, but you do start to raise your eyebrows in this league a little bit when you get to 32, 33, 34. It's a young man's league, as they like to say out there. So, like, if Danico Autry is not the same level of Danico Autry this year as he was last year, well, how big of a difference does that make for this team? I think everybody feels pretty good about Jeffrey Simmons. I mean, Jeffrey Simmons at this point, I think, has proven what he is, which is a superstar caliber of a player, and he's heading into a contract year. So I'm feeling pretty good about Jeffrey Simmons. If Autry's not the same this year as he was last year, how much of a difference could that make? How much of a difference do you think that would make if there's a drop-off there?
Yeah, it would definitely make a difference. Autry has to be the most underrated guy on the team last year, and Autry was easily the best free agent signing, and he's one of the best that John Robinson's had. So that would make a big difference. One thing I do like is that, you know, last year, you know, Tyrrell Tarte has been kind of a nice story, of course, a nice find for the Titans. Naquan Jones, also a nice find. He kind of replaced Tarte last year. You know, both those guys right now are healthy, obviously. It's the spring. But if you got both of them playing at the best we've seen, that's a very nice tandem to keep rolling depth in there. So, I mean, I like some of the depth and support pieces up front as well, you know, to help support these guys. No one should have to play ridiculous snaps, although Landry will probably play every snap because he always does. But, yeah, you know what I mean? So that's good. You still, though, have to have the absolute top line key guys play up to that expectation.
You do. And, you know, the pass rush, as we know, we talked about this when the Titans didn't have a pass rush. It can cover up for so much. And, you know, we were talking 2 years ago about Kevin Byard and the struggles that he had. Well, Kevin Byard looked a whole lot better last year, and some of that is because he's a really good player, obviously. But I think some of that is also the Titans actually had a pass rush, and he wasn't out there on an island trying to overcompensate for everything. Like, the pass rush covers up a lot of things on the defense. And if you don't have that at full bore, then I think everything we're talking about probably looks a little bit worse. That's just the name of the game nowadays. Now, on the flip side, you know, I think the number one concern for Titans fans is the cornerback position. On the flip side, if you do have a pass rush and it is as lethal as we think it can be, that's going to do nothing but help these young cornerbacks, whether that's Caleb Farley or Roger McCreary or Elijah Molden, whoever you want to throw out there. So to me, that's really where the conversation begins and ends with this team. If the pass rush is really good, the Titans are going to have a good defense. If it's not, probably going to struggle. That's just how it is in football today.
Well, yeah, and no doubt. I mean, and this team is, I mean, it's built to be dominant. I mean, it's like we've talked in this segment about all the things breaking the wrong way and what that could mean, but what if they break the right way? And Landry just keeps ascending, and Dupree is a totally different guy after an offseason of not having to rehab a knee. And Autry's still Autry. Simmons still Simmons. Those young guys I mentioned are playing at their highest level. Weaver comes in and gives you something. You know, I think Weaver is a talent. I really do. You know, David Long is a blitzer. I mean, you know, it could be racking up some major numbers next year. Then what does that do for your, it's just such a support for your corner group. So, if the Titans aren't, I don't know, top 10 sacks in the league, I'll be surprised. I think they're a top 10 sack total team this year. And I think that's the key to them being, you know, a top 10 defense too. I wouldn't be surprised if those two numbers kind of, sort of follow each other very closely.
Well, and especially when you think about, you know, some of the teams that they're playing against this year, I think, you know, sometimes we get caught up in offense versus offense. So can you score enough to keep up with these teams? And I'm not saying that's not important, But you're taking on, you know, Josh Allen and Derek Carr and Matt Ryan and Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Joe Burrow. I mean, you go up down the list of quarterbacks that they're playing. Justin Herbert this year. You're going to need to get after those guys. And the pass rush the Titans could have on paper, I mean, we saw what a difference that was against the Rams last year. I mean, they were all over Stafford from the start of that game to the finish of it, and that was the difference in the game. I mean, that's how you go about neutralizing some of these quarterbacks that they're going to be playing against this year.
No question. That game was the perfect example of if you dominate the interior and you can get in a quarterback's face. I mean, look, like some of Brady's worst performances in his career, you know, that's been exactly what it was, is that, you know, they were the opponent was getting to him from the inside. I mean, that just wrecks a game for the opponent. You know, you also need to ask with this team, in certain situations against certain opponents, can you feel comfortable manning up, you know, in the red zone or in a big moment? You know, can you across the board for a team with multiple good receivers feel good manning up and holding that coverage long enough? You know, and that's where, you know, that especially again, that other outside corner is going to be such a big deal. It's which is why it's good that the Titans, you know, brought in another young, talented guy to compete for it.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by David Beauclair from SI.com. We'll get his thoughts on all things Tennessee Titans. That's coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
You're on the show right now, Brennan, so okay.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Brennan Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend David Beauclair from SI.com. David, what's going on? How are we doing? Do we have David Beauclair?
Yeah. David?
I can bring Brennan in.
Hey, I'm here. Yeah.
There we go. We got
David. There he is.
There he is. That's all good now. David, we were discussing.
I was in a black hole there for a second.
You were. We have rescued you from the black hole. David, appreciate you taking time to join us here today on the program. So we were just talking about the Titans defense. There was a piece that came out from CBS Sports over the weekend, and basically it was looking ahead to defenses this year and who's the most likely to be a top 10 defense. And it had the Titans in the somewhat unlikely category. Do you feel like as a whole, maybe the Titans defense nationally isn't getting the due that maybe they deserve heading into this season?
Well, I think the question mark with Caleb Farley, I think is such a big one when you look at how offenses are operating these days and how you know, I mean, it's not a kind of thing where, well, if the Titans get in a situation where the other team has to throw, I mean, everybody's going to be throwing the ball, and Caleb Farley is going to be, he's going to be learning about the NFL. He's going to be learning about football in general. I mean, when you, the guy hasn't played a lot of football in his career. And if it's not Caleb Farley, then maybe it's Roger McCreary who's going to be a rookie there. I mean, it's such a big question mark to me at that spot that it does sort of undermine, as good as they are with Jeffrey Simmons and Danico Autry and Zach Cunningham and Harold Landry and Kevin Byard and the rest of that defense. That position is just going to be, when it's just gonna be. I don't know. It could really make or break the whole season in some ways when I think about it for the Titans.
Yeah, well, I think it's hugely important too, David. But I also think that, I mean, I think Christian Fulton could be really good, you know. And I think Fulton is one of those guys who, and we'll see. Like, is he like a top shelf, like number one corner in the NFL? I don't know. But I think that's probably a more solid situation than a lot of people around the league realize. And I definitely think, and this is also based on how many mock drafts of the Titans taking an inside linebacker, that people have zero idea who David Long is, David Long Jr. Yeah. Right. And like, so that's perceived as like a weakness. Whereas I actually think Long Cunningham could be dynamic inside, but I agree with you. I mean, Caleb Farley's got to be, or that position, because maybe Roger McCreary, ascends there, but that's got to be as big a question along with those offensive line spots as anything. By the way, do you think McCreary, based on watching McCreary here recently, do you think he's going to end up being a contender outside, or do you think he's better suited to be a slot corner?
You know, it's hard to say, and I'll say this because I didn't notice him a whole lot in the practices I've seen to this point, and I say that as a good thing because, you know, it was never a case of, boy, that guy was wide open, and oh, look, Roger McCreary's 3 yards behind him in pursuit or what. Like, I feel like Roger McCreary must have had some pretty good practices already to this point where he was covering his guy to the point that the quarterback went somewhere else with the ball pretty much all the time. I think McCreary's going to ultimately be in the mix. I mean, personally, I don't have a lot of faith in Caleb Farley right now, and not so much the injury history. I think they can get him conditioned and maybe get him to the point where he can play, but the fact that he hasn't played a whole lot of football, whereas McCreary has played a lot more and has covered big time receivers week in and week out in the SEC, I think he's a guy who's going to very much factor into that spot before all is said and done, and might give this team a little more time to not throw Caleb Farley in with both feet right away and let him be more of a developmental project who could pay off huge somewhere down the line potentially. But to your point at the start there, Joe, I agree. Like David Long, I don't know why people haven't figured out who David Long is at all. He and Zach Cunningham are going to be an upgrade inside over Rashawn Evans and Jayon Brown the last couple years. That, you know, for a defense where you say, well, they're not changing personnel hardly at all, they're actually better at inside linebacker, I think, than they've been the last couple of years.
David Beauclair from SI.com on with us here on Robbie and Rexro. David, what are your expectations for Austin Hooper and how he fits into this offense coming up this season?
I think he's going to be hugely important, particularly early in the season while the whole wide receiver rotation is being sorted out. Based on what we saw from Bud Dupree last year, I think it's logical to expect that Robert Woods will be better later in the year than he is early in the year. He's saying all the things you want to hear right now, but Bud Dupree said those same things a year ago and then ultimately found out that he did too much too early in the season and had to dial it back a bit. Treylon Burks, even under the best case scenarios, which it hasn't been for him right now, he's a rookie. He's going to be learning on the fly. That whole wide receiver group, they've got to figure out who fits where. Ryan Tannehill's got to figure out who he likes, who he doesn't like. Meanwhile, and while all that's going on, Austin Hooper's going to be running those shorter inside routes, getting open, presumably getting open quickly, maybe the first one to get open. And I'm guessing that Ryan Tannehill will not pass up an open Austin Hooper waiting for a wide receiver to get open on the next, the next two or three routes down the tree or whatever. So I think early in the year, particularly Austin Hooper is going to be putting up some pretty good catch numbers.
Very, very limited information on this. So if your answer is just, incomplete or NA, that's fine. But just based on people moving around and what they've been doing out there, you feel better, worse, the same about the offensive line right now than you did before the spring stuff started?
I feel worse about it because of the fact that they're moving guys around. At last week's OTA, you saw Dylan Radin get the first couple reps at, at right tackle and then slide to left guard, and Jamarco Jones was there at right tackle, and then Jamarco Jones slid to left guard, and then Austin Petit-Frere was at right tackle. And, you know, I would feel better about the offensive line if I felt like the coaches knew at least, say, okay, Dylan Radins is a right tackle, plain and simple. You know, that's what we're going to do with him. The fact that they're still trying to figure out, is he better at this spot or that spot, and that to me says that this is going to be a long drawn out process again, trying to find the best starting five. And you know, the starting five at the start of training camp might not be the starting five at the start of week one in the regular season, and that doesn't seem to me to be a good way to operate with your offensive line, particularly when you're going to be so reliant on the running game, and particularly when you're going to have wide receivers, as I just said, trying to figure it out, and maybe your quarterback needs an extra half a second or something to be able to complete his passes. It feels like it could be ugly at points this year right now.
David Beauclair from SI.com on with us here on Robbie and Rexro. David, last thing for you here. There have been a lot of pieces the last couple of weeks about Derrick Henry and maybe a potential decline coming up for him. Now, I mean, the obvious answer is, well, if he declines from 2,000 yards from a couple of years ago, that's probably expected at some point. But what are your expectations for Derrick Henry coming into this year off of the foot injury? Obviously, he got in the playoff game. He had 66 yards in that game. What are your expectations for number 22 with an offseason to get back healthy and get back ready to go this coming in this year?
Yeah, I'm one of the great pessimists on this. I think that sort of injury for a guy who plays that position, particularly a guy that big, that he is never going to be the Derrick Henry of 2020 again. I think best case scenario is he's a good running back who gains yards. You know, he'll have a 120, 150 yard game here and there. But you know, the long breakaway runs, I think, are largely a thing of the past. I think he's going to be a much more normal running back, a much less exciting running back than we've seen. You know, the thing about Derrick Henry, though, is, you know, we all know that medical technology has come a long way, and you figure if a guy can overcome the curse of 370, in particular, you know, his 378 carries 2 years ago, it could be Derrick Henry, who has certain genetic gifts, obviously, who we see his workout videos every offseason. There is that little thought that you go, well, if anybody can overcome all of this, Derrick Henry can. But I just doubt it'll happen. I mean, he's fighting too many different factors right now in terms of what running backs can withstand, and I think we should all cherish what we saw in 2019 and 2020, because I don't think we're going to see it again.
David Beauclair from SI.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. David, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time to join us this morning.
My pleasure, boys. Everybody have a great day.
Absolutely. You as well. David Beauclair, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant. Joe Rexroad's rant of the day. As always, we'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN, 102.5 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
You might want to sing it note for note.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rexroad's rant of the day. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, I turn things over to you.
Sorry, I just wanted to jam out a little bit to that. Really wanted to enjoy that. Yeah, it's a beautiful piece of music. What a way to start the week. But it's a short week.
It is.
All right, please, can you turn it off now, Michelle, please? Stop. Sorry. Make it stop. Fine. Okay, so I need to ask. I need to ask about holidays, okay?
Okay.
Do we go trick-or-treating on Thanksgiving?
We do not.
Do we put up a mistletoe on the 4th of July?
No.
Do we drink green beer on Christmas? All right, well, maybe
some people may.
Some people may do that. Do we have turkey on Arbor Day? I don't know if we still do Arbor Day. Isn't that like a tree?
It is.
Celebrate trees, yeah. No. So here's the thing. There are holidays, and there are certain things that you do on holidays, and there are certain things you don't do on holidays. You don't do fireworks on Memorial Day.
you do not.
Not just Memorial Day, the Sunday before Memorial Day. So I don't know who the idiot in my neighborhood is, but someone decided that it was just, let's just go nuts with fireworks on the Sunday Memorial Day. And, you know, the only reason I really care is that Gus, our little Gus, absolutely freaks out on fireworks. So, you know, around the 4th of July, you know, you're just going to have to, you know, you maybe try to take him to a more quiet place or something, or, you know, you just kind of, you know, you're going to have to hold him. You know, when it's random that you have all these explosions, you know, and you're not prepared for it. I mean, I actually helped Gus trembled in absolute terror for like an hour after it was over Sunday night. And I'm just like, oh, wait, was it Saturday? I don't know. It was either Saturday or Sunday. Yeah. Point being, at any point during Memorial Day weekend or any other holiday weekend, it is not appropriate to set off fireworks. I'm sorry. There's a specific time of the year that we do fireworks, and everybody knows the score. Everybody knows what's going on. You're going to expect explosions all over the place. Fine. You don't do it on Memorial Day. It makes no sense. And I just can't, you know, when my poor little doggy is sitting there freaking out and it just came randomly, thunderstorms do the same thing to him. And you know what? You can't help that. You can't help thunderstorms, but you can help people not doing fireworks on Memorial Day. Please don't ever do it again.
I don't know that I've ever heard of the Memorial Day fireworks show. Like,
neither have I.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody actually doing this in there. But now, you know, out here in Robertson County, you hear some fireworks every now and then when you least expect it. You hear some gunshots off in the distance in terms of people just sitting out back and firing at targets all the time. And that freaks my dog out. But I've never heard of the Memorial Day fireworks show. This is a new thing for me. Look, around here, it's always been 4th of July. And then New Year's, you can expect some fireworks too. Like, people go nuts around here on New Year's Day firing off fireworks too. So those two times a year to me are acceptable. Whatever. Knock yourself out. I'm a big firework guy on July 4th too. So this is what I do. Memorial Day, I've never even heard of anyone doing this.
Neither have I. No, you're right. That's a good point. New Year's, and that's fine. I mean, that's New Year's Eve and New Year's. I mean, it's kind of like anything goes type thing, right? So that's kind of a separate thing. But yeah, Memorial Day. No, never heard of it. Never heard of it before. And I'm like, guys, you're about 6 weeks early, you know? Like, just hold on to them. And in about 6 weeks, it'll be all fine. So someone on the text line says, Joe is anti-Captain America now. Sheesh.
Maybe so.
By the way, mini rant, which, you know, we're going to have to give David crap. I mean, we're going to have to do a list. Jason in Clarksville wrote Treylon Burks. Glennon. I think Glennon has got it. Glennon has figured it out. We gotta work with David on this.
It's been a problem. It was Treylon. Look, I mean, Jared for a while was Treylon. I think he's come around too, but it was a big issue for a long time.
Well, I mean, I think last year, if we talked about him, you know, having some huge game for Arkansas or something like that, I'm sure I said Treylon too. But then the Titans sent out pronunciation things when people are drafted. Pretty awesome. It's helpful.
It is. I'm trying to think. Like, I have not, I said that I've never heard people shoot fireworks off for Memorial Day. I have heard of some Christmas fireworks before. And I don't know if those are like shooting off fireworks to celebrate Christmas or if they're just like super early to New Year's. Either way, it's probably not acceptable. There's a certain window of time, but I'm trying to think of the most random time I've heard people shooting fireworks. That may be it.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, like you said, sometimes, yeah, sometimes people are firing guns or sometimes, yeah, there'll just be some random day when people have fireworks. I mean, shoot, when I was a kid, we used to buy fireworks. We didn't confine them to 4th of July. You know, we'd shoot bottle rockets or jumping jacks and try to, like, take a pack of jumping jacks and throw it at someone and see if you could hit them. I mean, like, yeah, you know, stupid stuff that happened, like, in the 80s, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But Dan, this felt like this is like a holiday fireworks thing. And it's like, no. That's not, what are you doing? Nate says that there were people down in Colombia doing it too. So
apparently maybe this is a new thing.
Yeah. Let's not do that. let's just go ahead and not do that anymore. Okay. It's just, you know, and again,
poor Gus.
I mean, frankly, I wouldn't even have probably noticed or cared at all if not for that. But I, sure. I have a dog who it's like, dude, we're all right here with you. Everything's fine. You're inside. And yet still, like, for whatever reason, it just absolutely freaks him out.
Now, I would assume that with that being the case, that y'all don't – are you a lighter of fireworks come July 4th? Are you still a big firework guy?
No, not really. We have gotten them before, but that's kind of faded. It probably somewhat with the dogs, but also, you know, like we have a big show in our neighborhood, you know, every year. We call it Thunder, by the way. Thunder.
Oh boy.
That's right. Which is actually really awesome, like a legit fireworks show. So that's really that's basically, you know, what we do. We don't really go and buy a bunch or anything like that. So, and yeah, that's probably, even if the kids wanted to, it'd be like, no, you're not allowed to, or go somewhere else with them, you know?
Guys, you can't even buy them in New York.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's very sad.
Kind of, I guess.
You can't buy fireworks in New York?
No. You have to, like, wow. People will go just cross the, like, you can shoot them off in New York, but you can't buy them in the state.
So what, you cross the border into what? To like Connecticut to get them?
I don't know. One of the surrounding ones. Sorry, I'm not versed in firework. What states I can get them in?
You get them here.
I'd like a list.
I did know that. Yes. Get them here.
You can sure get them here.
Matt in Mount Juliet on the text line says there was a community firework show in Mount Juliet last night. Maybe this is a thing. Maybe this is now Memorial Day fireworks are now a thing.
No.
Look, you've got fireworks in your neighborhood. Matt on the text lines, there's fireworks going off all over the place in Mount Juliet, Nate in Columbia, and we've covered a lot of ground here.
Yeah, let's not. You know what? When it's time for the fireworks, take all of them, save them, and go nuts. Because it's everybody knows this is when it is, this is what it is. So do all of them then. And you know what? The ones that you did this weekend, you may run out during the 4th of July and wish you had more. Okay, now you got more. Save them. Don't spread it around, man. No.
Got a text that says we have a big fireworks show every Memorial Day weekend at our Big Sandy Spring Festival in Big Sandy, Tennessee. So Big Sandy, Nolensville, Mount Julian, and Columbia, all with fireworks.
Well, we've come across an epidemic.
we have. Apparently in Clarksville as well. So it's just all over the place here in Tennessee. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. We'll get his thoughts on Tennessee baseball heading into regional play beginning later this week. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game.